Hello. The seatbelt check is around the corner.
You actually were telling the truth.
I do that quite a lot. Your people are always surprised.
Welcome aboard. Ladies and gentlemen, there may be some turbulence up ahead. Make sure your seatbelts are fastened.
To those guests who've just joined us, welcome.
Hey guys, welcome back to Escape to the Magic Podcast. We are the host of the show. My name is Ryan.
And I'm Dak.
Ooh, that was good.
Yeah.
That was pretty good. Hey, on this week's show, let's go back a little bit. So, I guess when we first started the podcast, when we did first start the podcast, we did a segment almost every week that we called The Magical Scenario.
Yes.
Can you describe real fast the magical scenario?
Yeah, so this was actually born out of our two daughters getting rides home after hanging out with each other. So our Ryan and I's two daughters are really close in age. And anyways, they would hang out and, you know, have play dates or whatever. And then one of us would be driving them home. Either we'd take turns, right? I'd either take her back to Ryan's or Ryan bring them back to our house, depending on where they were. So one night, as I'm taking the girls home, I'm just thinking about Disney, of course, and I start, like, asking them questions. And I'm like, okay, it's Friday night, it's, you know, 70 degrees, you're in the Magic Kingdom, you got one more ride to go, and one snack that you get to have. What's the ride you're running to right now, and what's your snack in your hand? And we just started playing this game where we would make up different scenarios or different situations, and so we started calling them magical scenarios. And so it got to be this fun little game that we would play in the car. And even my family, like my daughter would be like, hey dad, play that game. And so as a family, if we ever went on road trips or whatever, we'd, you know, all think up our best magical scenario where you just create a semi-realistic experience but put your own little flavor and twist on it on things you like. So that's it. That's magical scenario.
And you brought that to the show.
And I brought it to the show because
we started to do it.
Yeah.
And it turned out it was actually really popular with the listeners.
Yes.
It was one of the more popular things that we did. And for whatever reason, we haven't done it in a while.
It's been a minute since we've done it. And we need to get back into the habit of it. And so
we thought this week, let's just do a whole episode.
Yeah.
Let's have some fun. Just do some magical scenarios with one another.
For sure.
But first, real fast, if you've been on social media for the past week, there have been some exciting videos and podcast episodes about Epic Universe.
Yeah, absolutely. So I follow a guy. His name is Chris Provost, who runs
Provost
a YouTube
Park Pass.
Yeah, he runs a YouTube channel called Provost Park Pass. I highly recommend it. He's like one of the reasons why I get excited about going on Disney trips. And so anyways, I text you during the week and I was like, man, have you seen Provost Park Pass video of Epic Universe in Orlando? And you said you have seen some but had not seen his. He did about an hour long review of all the parks at Epic Universe. So for those of you who maybe are not aware of this, Universal opened up a new, they call it Epic Universe. It is a break. It is five worlds, they call them, which I think is kind of funny.
It's
a little
bit
of poking the bear, right? Yeah. Like, I think there's this unspoken, not unspoken. I think it's pretty,
there's a
well-documented
rivalry,
right? Yeah. And so anyways, so they're calling it Worlds. So there's Celestial Park, which is, per Universal, the central hub where lush gardens, winding waterways, and scenic pathways serving as a gateway to the other worlds. I think that's like a direct slap in the face. Not slap in the face, but direct like poke of Disney
hub. It looks like they've took a little bit of the design.
For sure.
The spoke and hub, or the hub and spoke design, and incorporated that into this new park.
So then the other worlds is the Wizarding World of Harry Potter Ministry of Magic.
Which looks amazing.
It's so amazing. It's kind of set in a 1920s Paris, like French setting. Super Nintendo World. They have this out in California and in Japan, but now they're bringing it to Orlando. And then they have a whole How to Train Your Dragon, The Isle of Berk. That's most of what I've seen, mm-hmm. is some of the animatronics of the How to Train Your Dragons. And then they have, which again, I think this is another little jab, right, is they have a world called Dark Universe, which is a land centered on Universal's classic monsters from films like Frankenstein and Dracula. Now, if you know anything about Universal Studios, you know that's kind of how they cut their teeth in the movie business, mm-hmm. is horror shows and horror movies and so forth. But what I think is interesting about this is that Disney fans have been begging, clamoring for whatever they can to get Disney to build a villain's land. And after years and years and years of asking, now it's come out in D23 that they are going to do a villain's land. And so what does Universal do? They create a monster's land world where this... I think there's a market out there for people that like kind of the bad guy side of things, right?
Well, and Universal is bringing a year-long kind of a horror event to Vegas.
Yes, yeah. Yeah, they're what is it called?
Now I forget the name of it.
Horror Nights or something
Horror
like
Nights,
that.
Yeah, it's going to be in Las
Super
Vegas.
Scary. Very, very different than Disney's not-so-scary Halloween party. Here's the thing. Here's my take on all of this. I think Universal is giving Disney a run for their money. Mm-hmm. And I think that Universal has finally gotten to the point where they're like, we're not the little brother anymore. When you come to Orlando, we want to be the main destination. And oh, maybe you tack on a couple of Disney days to your trip. Mm-hmm. But we want, whereas I think probably 5-10 years ago, it was, we're going to Disney World, and let's add on a couple of Universal days.
Well, I think you could even say up until now, it's been that way.
Yeah.
We're going to Disney, and we'll add on a couple of Universal days.
For sure.
Yeah. So, and that's kind of what I wanted to just do a hot take here with this new park, right? I'm sorry, I didn't mean to coach you off.
No. Yeah. I'll just say this. I mean, they're bringing it. Like, there's... over 10 new attractions at this at Epic Universe, tons of dining options, 3 new hotels, like, and then from what I saw on the YouTube videos, the theming is crazy awesome. Mm-hmm. Like, it's Disney level theming. I will say this about Universal, and then I'll let you go because I don't want to take up all the time on this. My first couple of times, other than the Harry Potter sections of the parks, has always kind of felt like, it's not Six Flags. It's better than Six Flags, but it's not Disney level. You go into Harry Potter sections of Universal and you're like, this is Disney level. I think all of Epic Universe is Disney level based on what I've seen so far.
Yeah.
So they're really stepping up their game.
Yeah. So I listened to a podcast. This was back. So the videos have just started coming out because they were doing an employee and family member only preview. And they were basically saying there's no video, there's no picture taking. If you don't even get on your phone, because we're going to assume that maybe you are video calling somebody. Universal was really protective of this kind of soft opening with their employees.
Sure.
So just recently, like in the past week, we started getting video and
all your influencers.
And there was a media event recently where some of the media were invited to experience it. But I did listen to a podcast episode that was this couple. I think their son works at Universal, so he was able to get them in, and they kind of live, not stream, but they live podcasted.
Wow.
Walking through Universal, right? And the female host she was crying.
Really?
At all the sights and the sounds. And I think she cried 6 or 7 times. And they actually, just this past week, now have their official Epic Universe review. Mm-hmm. And I guess we'll give them a shout out. It's Addicted to the Mouse podcast. We don't know them. They don't know us. There's no affiliation. I listen to them because I think they're
entertaining.
They're entertaining, right?
Yeah, for sure.
So they did release this past week this official Epic Universe review. And I'm not quoting here because I don't remember exactly what he said, the male host. But he said a few things that really caught my attention. Number one, he said that this was the most immersive park he had ever been into.
Wow.
More so than Disney.
Mm-hmm.
The attraction, the ride at the Ministry of Magic, he said, is the most immersive, amazing attraction he had ever done.
Wow.
And he's not a line waiter. He's like, I would wait 3 hours to ride this ride. And, you know, taking in all this in, I texted you. I'm like, you remember this? I'm like, has Disney miscalculated the effect that Epic Universe is going to have on Disney's brand? Now, this, it's a new park, right? Everything is brand spanking new. It's new technology. It's going to be the latest
and greatest, yeah.
And greatest, right?
Yeah.
And it's going to be that way for a while until Disney starts to open up some of these new projects that they announced back in D23, right? But here's the thing that I just can't help but think is, you know, Universal is getting a whole new park. Disney is opening up these lands,
mm-hmm.
and that's it. We've done that. We've done Pandora. We've done Toy Story Land. We've done, what else?
Galaxy's Edge.
Galaxy's Edge. That's the one I was thinking of, right?
Yeah.
We've done the lands before. And they're fine. They're great. They're super immersive. They're fantastic. But don't tell me that you don't get just a little, I don't want to say tired, but maybe a little like, again, because our last trip there, we walked through Galaxy's Edge for 10 minutes. We walked through Toy Story Land for 5 minutes, and then we were done. Like, we didn't, like, we just didn't feel the need. Because the waits were so long, we're like, yeah, we're not going to do anything. But if you're in a brand new park, that's kind of hits a little different. And I think Disney, you know, they months ago in one of their quarterly earning calls, you know, they said, oh, yeah, we're going to benefit from this new park, from Epic Universe opening up, because we're going to get all those people going to Universal. They're going to come to Disney as well. I just wonder if this is going to put some additional pressure on Disney to kind of get that fifth park. I don't think they're ever going to do it. That's my opinion. I think they like to do these lands.
Yeah, I do too. I think for a couple of reasons. I think once you have the infrastructure there, it's much easier to add on versus go in and break ground.
Exactly.
Right? Like, so plumbing, electrical, all that stuff, you know, that's probably easier to tie into an existing area or refurb an area into a new land because it's already, like I say, the infrastructure's already there. You know, as you were talking, I was thinking about on one of the Imagineering series episodes, I think it's called Hit or Miss or something like that.
I bet, yeah,
anyways, they're talking about just different times where Disney went through highs and lows, and one of the lows that they went through, I can't remember who it is that's talking, but he basically says there was a moment where they were putting out an inferior product. And he says, you kind of got the impression that they were, meaning the execs, were like, oh, they'll just buy it. The general public will just, they'll just buy it. They'll just go along with it. Well, come to find out, the general public did not just go along with it, right? And so these parks began to fail. Like, Disney's California Adventure was not very successful in the beginning until they did a massive overhaul of that park. My point in all this is just that. I wonder if Disney has kind of rode on their accolades for a while, for lack of a better word.
Mm-hmm.
And now maybe they're starting to see, oh, goodness, we have to pick up our game, right? Mm-hmm. Like, we can't just continue to ride on some of these great IPs that we've had out there. We actually have to kind of put the pen to the paper and be great Imagineers again and create something amazing.
I would expect that when they open up these new lands, I would hope that the technology is better than what Universal is opening up here in the next month. You would hope so.
Yeah.
Right. So, but we'll see. Now, and this is, you know, kind of the flip side of that coin is, what is one thing that Disney has that Universal doesn't have? Disney's got the iconic IP.
Yes.
They've got the princesses. They've got the pirates. They've got all that stuff that we know and love. I love Universal. I'm a pass holder to Universal. But you're right. Like, you know, for me, it's, I don't walk through Universal. I'm like, oh, this place is just, it's so nostalgic. Harry Potter World is a freaking amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's their one, maybe Minions. Anyways, but like, you're right. When I walk into the, whatever that was called, the dark world or dark area, the villain's land of the Universal. What is it called? I just had it up. Anyways, I don't have a nostalgic connection to Dracula or Frankenstein, right? Like, it's cool.
It's going to be cool.
The theming is awesome, but it's not like, I'm like, oh man, that's so, like, I remember that show, or I remember that, like, as opposed to if I walk in and see Maleficent, or I see Emperor's New Groove, or, you know, name any other Disney villain, there's an immediate connection and like nostalgic of, oh, there's Captain Hook from Peter Pan. Yeah.
Well, and before we started recording, you were playing Happily Ever After.
Yes.
And I'm like, Universal can't, they can't match that.
No.
Just that night work, that nighttime spectacular, Universal doesn't have that.
Right.
You know, so.
Right. Yeah.
Anywho, again, we haven't, you know, we're not big enough yet to get the media invite to Epic Universe.
No.
Maybe in 10 years, who knows? But I think it looks amazing. I think Universal has done it right. But I think we'll see. I think we'll see how Disney responds and what happens in the future.
I'll say this. I'm not a Universal guy, but I definitely want to go see it. Like, I want to experience it.
Yeah, for sure. And tickets seem pretty reasonable.
Yeah.
I think I saw like $139. Well, for some of the summer, and then the peak times, it's, I think, like $200. But
that was another thing that was shocking to me. Do you know when the official opening date is?
It's like May 22nd.
May 22nd.
Yeah,
that's a long time. I mean, we don't usually name the dates, but we're kind of sitting early April right now, so we're still a good 45 days out.
And we'll see too, like, because again, with all these new attractions being the latest technology, we've seen this at Disney a lot. These newer attractions that have 2 million lines of computer code break down often.
Yes.
So we'll see how Universal handle, because there are the two parks. A lot of their attractions are just the tried and, you know, true coaster. They got some 4D things that are very, you know, trustworthy and safe.
Yeah.
But let's see these new attractions, how well they respond to, you know, the crowds and having to run
very, very
12
true.
Hours a day. So anyway. Wow, we talked about that for a long time.
Yeah, sorry. So, that was a longer segment than what we thought it would be.
This is still a Disney podcast. Yeah.
Yeah.
But hey, let's talk about some magical scenarios.
Yeah,
let's have some fun.
Yeah, so, let's spend the rest of our time here having fun. So do you have one lined up?
I've got one lined up.
Yeah, let's go.
Okay,
let's
so go. Magical scenario. All right. I'm going to give you the option. I'm going to put you in Magic Kingdom from rope drop to 6 p.m. or from 6 p.m. to park close. Which one are you choosing?
So assuming park close is like 9 or 10.
We'll say 10 o'clock.
Okay. I mean,
with
love...
With unlimited fast passes.
On either end of it.
Either end.
Yeah. I'm always going to choose the evening.
Yeah, me too.
I love Disney at night. There's just something, and especially they call it the golden hour, right? As that sun is coming down and the lights, sounds like song lyrics, the sun's coming down and the lights are coming up. It just, man, it's magical.
It is. I would choose the same thing. Yeah. Give me 4 hours in the evening as opposed to 9 hours during the day. Yeah. That's the right decision.
For sure.
Yeah. All right, you got one?
Okay, so I was, last week we did our kind of trip recaps. You went on a family trip, I went on a solo trip. The one I was thinking of is, I don't know if it's magical, but maybe it'll be magical. Here it is.
Okay.
So here it is. Mine is, if you could enforce or eliminate any rule at Disney... What would not eliminate, create an elimination of something.
So right? get rid of a rule,
a policy that they have, or enforce an existing policy, but like actually make it stick, right? So, like, we talked about this in one of our episodes. Disney has rules, but people are breaking those rules. There may be, like, softer rules, but if you could enforce it and say, like, hey, like, I'll tell you mine right now.
Okay.
Mine is line jumping or line cutting or whatever you want to call it. That would be my magical scenario. If you could enforce, and I don't know how you'd do it, but if you could enforce this line cutting where, you know, two people leave to go to the bathroom and eight come back and weave their way through the line, ooh, it drives me insane. And so that would be my magical scenario is, they enforce it in such a way that if you're cutting line, you're getting out of the line. Your whole group is getting out of the line.
Yeah, Disney has always been pretty good about that. And, well, in a sense where they don't, you're not cutting in line. It's a courtesy that you allow, you know, parents with small kids to leave, go to the bathroom, sure, come back, and that's not a big deal. Or let's say you're a party of eight, and then, you know, five of those eight go get in line for an attraction. Three come back later.
Yeah.
And skip the line up to meet up with their group, right? But I see what you're saying.
It doesn't bother, to be clear, it doesn't bother me that the dad with his son or daughter runs off to the restroom. Some of those lines are long. I get that. What I'm talking about is when you have a group of people that are meeting up with another group of people and there's five, six, seven people moving through the line to be with their group. It's like, no, you guys are two separate groups here.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but yeah, you're going to have to wait like the rest of us.
Okay.
That would be my
No, I get it. I get it. So I would, to answer your question, I think, and this doesn't affect me at all, I see this online a lot and it kind of bothers me, are the merchandise resellers.
Yes.
People that, you know, because Disney drops all sorts of new merchandise, popcorn buckets, you know, pins, gadgets, you name it. And what happens is that these resellers will get inside the park and they'll buy up 30. Let's say the popcorn bucket. They'll buy 30 popcorn buckets. Yeah. And you see them walking out of the park with like 10 bags. And Disney doesn't stop them. I think they've tried in the past to limit only two per customer. Somehow these resellers get around that. I don't know how they do that. And again, it doesn't affect me because I don't typically buy, like, I'm not going to go stand in line for 45 minutes to an hour to get a popcorn bucket.
It's just not that important to me.
Yeah. So, but I just think the principle of it, like, come on. Like,
yeah.
You know, and then you sell them on eBay for $150, right?
Right. Yeah.
You know, and I get that this is somebody's job. Or a side hustle, like this reselling. I don't know. Just for me, it kind of leaves a sour taste.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
All right. Anyway, it really wasn't a magical scenario.
Yeah, that's kind of that was a weak
like
one.
A downer scenario.
My second one.
Yeah.
Second one is better.
All right. So here goes another one. If you could take any current attraction that is at Disneyland and bring it over and for example, you can either bring it over to Disney World or you can modify the version at Disney World to match what's at Disneyland. Which one would it be?
Well, it's coming, and that's the Indiana Jones ride.
Yeah.
To me, that has always been one that I wish. I mean, they have the track for it in Dinosaur. I think it's all set up, ready to go. I don't know why it took this long for them to get there, but for me, that's what it is. Like, I love Indiana Jones so much over in Disneyland. Dun, dun, dun. Yeah.
Yeah.
I would do that.
And it's going to be a different story, though.
That's fine.
Yeah, which I'm excited for.
Yeah.
I think that's going to be really cool. No, that's a great one.
How about you?
There's so many. I like the fact that Disneyland's Pirates is about 5 minutes longer.
Yes.
I like the fact that the Big Thunder at Disneyland, it's a little bit longer, which they are bringing that. I mean, Big Thunder's under construction right now at Disney World. And looks. I mean, they're changing, adding some track in, so that might be a really cool ride when they're done. I mean,
yeah, I'm sure. Hold up.
Big Thunder Mountain Railroad is a freaking awesome ride.
Yeah.
But they're changing it up to, I think, probably match what's at Disneyland. I need to answer my own magical scenario here. You know what? I would bring over the facade of It's a Small World.
Okay.
I think the Disneyland version is so spectacularly beautiful. It's its own building. Like the one at Disney World is like, you look at it, you're like, well, I guess
we'll is this a tent?
Is this a tent? I mean, what's going on here? Yeah. Like, but the one at Disneyland, it's just this magnificent showcase of a building that they do projections on. They do amazing Christmas lights on. It just makes you want to go hop on the ride.
Yeah, for
you
sure. Know?
So I think I would bring that over.
Yeah. All right. I got one more for us here. So this is more of a would you rather. So here are probably 7 or 8 of my top bucket list items to do. Some of these I've done, so I shouldn't, I guess I could take them off. But anyways, let's choosing your top 2 or 3 that you would do. So taking a VIP tour where you get your own, you know, guide throughout all the parks, you have unlimited fast passes, snacks, they drive you around from park to park. You can choose your whole day. So VIP tour, go to D23 and get to experience that. This is a big one. Do an Adventures by Disney at Disneyland. So that includes obviously spending the day at Disneyland, going to Disney Studios, which the only way you can get in is by Adventures by Disney. Going to the Disney Archives. Again, you can only get in by Adventures by Disney. And then you also get to check out Walt's apartment. Next one, experience Tokyo Disneyland and Disney Sea. I think that would be fun. Being in Galaxy's Edge on May the 4th.
I'll pass on that one.
Whoa.
Yeah.
We both experienced this actually together. Being on Main Street during the Christmas parade.
Yep. That's fun.
Amazing experience.
It's really fun.
Taking a Disney cruise. I've done several Disney cruises, so I added in there an Alaskan Disney cruise.
Ooh.
That would be awesome.
Yeah, I need to get over my fear of open water first.
And then and then the last one, these are all bucket list items for me. Going to Club 33.
Okay.
So of those, what would be your top 2?
I think it'd be cool to go see Tokyo Disney Sea.
Okay.
Yeah. I think the technology that they've incorporated into that park with some of the attractions. I want to see it. Yeah. I've heard so many good things about it.
Yeah. That's definitely going to happen for our family. Yeah. I don't know when, but my girls are just, and my wife are just all over me about going to Tokyo.
Yeah.
Which is fine by me. They can go to Tokyo all they want. I will be spending the entire time at Disneyland.
I would say though a close second would be the VIP tour.
Yeah, so that is 100%. Club 33 is nice, but it's just a dinner, right? Like it's just a nice dinner. And I think it's kind of a,
well, do we really know what goes on there?
Yeah.
I mean, it's a private club that you have to pay, I don't know, what, $50,000 a year?
Yeah, no,
but I mean
like
nobody
that.
Knows.
But
unless you're part of the club.
To me, I can have a nice dinner in a lot of different places.
Yeah.
I understand Club 33 comes with a certain prestige or whatever, but so I'm with you. The VIP tour has got to be one of the most amazing experiences. I've never seen a video or heard anybody talk about it where they walk away and they're like, yeah, it was just okay. Everybody is like, that was the best experience I've ever had.
Yeah.
The other one is that Adventures by Disney. So in a previous life, I did Disney travel. This was one of the things that we offered. And I'm telling you, like, this would be amazing to go and stand at Disney Studios, like where all the artists, the old artists.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
It would be so amazing. So amazing. And I'm a big like Disney history guy.
Yeah.
Like I love it. And so just to be in the archives would be pretty awesome.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
All right.
Okay.
You got one more? Couple more?
I got a couple more.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Okay.
So, all right. So, and this will never happen. if you happen to be stranded in one land, either at Disney World or Disneyland, so one land, right? Mm-hmm. Like Toy Story Land or Adventureland, right? You have to be there for a week.
Whoa.
So you're talking about you're sleeping there, you're eating there.
Eating their restaurants there.
Eating their restaurants.
Oh, man.
Which land would you choose? But you also get to enjoy all the other benefits.
Not the park.
No, it's just like, we're going to limit where you can be.
Man, alive.
Yeah. I thought about a deserted island. I'm like, no, let's choose a land. All right.
For a week? That would be tough. Okay, here we go. So I would probably choose New Orleans Square in Disneyland.
Okay.
The reason why is because I get pirates. That's part of it.
Okay.
I get Haunted Mansion. I'm going to get Tiana's restaurant there.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to get I also get the Blue Bayou. I get the...
You get Club 33?
I get the Club 33. Yeah. And I get Cafe Orleans. So that's...
Ooh, that's a good one.
Yeah, that's mine.
Man. Okay, this may be cheating, but I would choose the World Showcase.
Ooh, nice. Yeah. Yes.
You get all the different restaurants.
Great, great.
Color. Lots of things to do. Plus...
Ratatouille.
You get...
The Frozen Ride.
Frozen Ride, Three Caballeros.
Nice, you get
all the restaurants.
Good call.
Yeah, and... I think World Showcase.
Yeah, yeah. That's a great call.
Okay. You have another one?
No, I'm tapped out.
Let's go back to the deserted island. You're on a deserted island, right? And you get to take with you three Disney movies. You're going to be deserted for, let's say, a year, right? You're going to have food and water and all that good stuff, but you only get to have three Disney movies with you. Which three are you taking?
So Up. Up is one of my favorite movies of all time with Disney. Man. Probably Ratatouille.
Really? Okay.
Okay, let's go back to Up. So Up, for sure. I'm going to say... goodness. I don't know. I'm trying to think about who I could watch over and over again, or who do I just if I'm flipping through the channels and it's on, I watch it. But I don't know. What are your three? Maybe that'll spark me.
Well, this came to me I was on Sunday this past week watching, I turned on Bedknobs and Broomsticks.
Okay.
And I'm this is such a fun movie. I love this movie. So I think I would choose a classic Bedknobs and Broomsticks. I would get an animated film. So maybe, maybe Beauty and the Beast, maybe the first Frozen.
Okay.
And then give me a modern day live action. That's maybe Remember the Titans.
Okay.
Invincible, something, maybe a sports related.
Yeah, I was
movie.
Thinking Miracle.
Miracle. Oh, that'd be awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Man, Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yeah.
That might be it. Yeah. Again, a scenario that will never happen in real life.
Right. Yeah. So I'd say Up, I'll go Miracle, which is, the 1980 hockey, USA hockey team. And then just for fun, I'll say one of the Marvel movies. So I wouldn't care. Honestly, I love all of the Marvel series, so I would not care if you gave me... I got a little bit of a man crush on Thor, so
I do.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's I would probably take Endgame.
Yeah. There you go.
That's probably the right answer there for us.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Well, any more magical scenarios?
Yeah, that's it. That's all I got.
Okay. Well, we're gonna try to bring those back to our regular episodes.
We'll get in a better habit of doing that.
Yeah, we just if you wondering where Randy has been.
Yeah,
we've done a lot of episodes recently without it. It's not by design. It's just we all three have just been so incredibly busy. The only reason that Dak and I get together to record is because we're together Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday nights because our daughters have a class together. And we get to sit here for an hour, just chilling. And we're like, let's record something this week. And, you know, so Randy is still very much a part of the podcast.
Yeah. We'll get Randy on as soon as possible, as soon as our schedules line up.
Yeah, because we still got to do... I mean, March Madness is now officially over.
It's over, yeah.
And I've got the episode ready to go. I'm like, we just got to get together to record it. So, anywho. Hey, guys, we appreciate you listening. Hopefully you like the show. This is kind of a different show than we normally do. But, hey, go on. Give us a like and a follow on all of our social media platforms. You know what? If you haven't given us a review yet, hopefully this episode is worthy of a 5-star review. And Apple Podcasts, give us a 5-star review on Spotify. Give us a 5-star review. We definitely would appreciate it. It helps the show grow. And anything else, Dan?
Yeah, thanks for listening.
Yeah, until next week.